welcome once again to another edition of what I call American Exposé. I'm Chris Gerner. It's the 22nd, apparently it's the 22nd of August, 2005. Boy, I woke up on the wrong side of the bed this morning with uneasy feelings about our country. Very, very petrified about our country and its situation today. I'm so sorry that we're all in this mess together, every one of us. And, you know, it's easy for you to dislike people when you don't know them. It's easy for you to get very upset and uptight when you look in the paper and you talk about military support center reaches out to the severely wounded. And you see these people with these soldiers with missing limbs. You know, it's just gut-wrenching when you understand, like I do, from the past to the present, what's going on. And then you see an article like this, listeners, that I was unaware of this morning, but certainly became very aware of when I got into my office. Immigrants Get Ranch on Border of Arizona by Beth DeFalco from the AP, the Associated Press. You've probably already heard this already, listeners. I'm sure everyone's talking about this. An Arizona ranch once owned by a member of an armed group, and this is what I talked about before, the ranch rescue people, accused of terrorizing illegal immigrants, has been turned over to two of the very people the owner had tried to keep out of the country. The land transfer is being done to satisfy a judgment against Casey Nethercott, a member of a self-styled border watch group who is serving a 5-year prison term for firearms possession. Morris Dees Jr., chief trial counsel of the Southern Poverty Law Center, which represented the immigrants, said he hoped the ruling would be a cautionary tale to anyone considering hostile measures against border crossers. Is this not insanity at its greatest that I easily predicted years ago? Quote, when we got into this case, ranches all along the border were allowing these types to come on their property, end quote, said Dees. Quote, now they're very leery of it, especially when they see someone losing their ranch because of it, end quote. The ruling comes as the governors of Arizona and New Mexico declare states of emergency on their border countries, moves designed to free up money for enforcement while drawing more national attention to the problems of illegal immigration. Well, once again, we're a vassal state of the U.N. system. It's legal. They're migrants under U.N. treaties. And this is the problem, listeners. We just don't get the boat. We don't get the picture. We don't understand the situation in place. Russia, China, Vietnam, Cuba, they don't let their people leave their country and come back to their country because they know nobody will come back to their country. Everybody will leave their country. No one wants to live under a communist regime. Anyone who thinks that communism is dead is nuts. Nuts. Or on the other side. Nethercott was a member of a group, Ranch Rescue, which works to protect private property along the southern U.S. border. In March 2003, he was accused of pistol-whipping Edwin Alfredo Mancia Gonzalez, 26, at Hermanville, Texas, ranch near the Mexico border. We'll be back with more of this. We have Debbie from New Millennium in the second hour. This hour is a rant. We'll be back to continue. Stay with us. Welcome back to the broadcast. Let's get back to this AP article. The board's already starting to light up. The ruling comes as the governors of Arizona and New Mexico declare states of emergency in their border countries, or county, excuse me, moves designed to free up money for enforcement while drawing more national attention to the problems of illegal immigration. Now you got illegal migration against illegal immigration. There's the two sides of the Hegelian dialectic. Nethercott was a member of the group Ranch Rescue, which works to protect private property along the southern U.S. border. And there's the Hegelian dialectic coming into place. In March 2003, he was accused of pistol whipping Edwin Alfredo Mancia Gonzalez, 26, at a Herbinville, Texas ranch near the Mexico border. A jury deadlocked on the assault charge, but convicted him of being a felon in possession of a firearm. There you go. The First Amendment, Second Amendment. Second Amendment rights going down the drain. First Amendment rights gone. Mancia and another immigrant traveling with him from El Salvador, Fatima del Socorro, Livia Medina, filed a civil lawsuit last year saying they were harmed while being held by Ranch Rescue members. Named in the suit were Nethercutt Jack Foote, the founder of Ranch Rescue, and the owner of the Herbinville Ranch, Joe and Betty Sutton. The Sutton settled for $100,000. Nethercutt and Foote did not defend themselves, and a Texas judge issued a default judgment in April of $850,000 against Nethercutt and $500,000 against Foote. Nethercutt transferred ownership of a 70-acre Douglas ranch to his sister, but the sister gave up ownership to settle the judgment when challenged by the immigrants' lawyers. The transfer of the ranch outraged border watch groups. Now, listeners, people, Agenda 21, I'm sorry. It all comes back to this. 13 years into total implementation. Recognizing and strengthening the role of indigenous people in their communities, chapter 26. It all fits. It all comes into place. It's all the way it is. I'm sorry. I'm apologizing for our country. I'm apologizing for the direction things have been going for our entire lifetimes. When you have 54,000 that died in Korea, 8,000 POWs never to return from Korea, 58,000 died in Vietnam, 85% of 5,000 POWs never to return from Vietnam, unless the secret returnee program worked out. And then they came back here with new identities, not to reveal any of their past to their former families, things like this. And anybody would do anything to get out of that place. As we were set up over there, we've been set up all over the world, as we're being set up right now in the Middle East mess. So we've got all these different avenues that are coming down upon us, and it emanates from the UN system and the State Department, listeners. That's the bottom line. Roger the Dodger in Pennsylvania, welcome to the show. Hello.
Sorry about that, Chris. Yeah, I was hoping you could clarify, because Stat Miller had put out, a year ago, about the situation degenerated there with Nethercutt on the ranch, something to the effect that while he was still in the joint, held on spurious charges, which weren't, I don't think, related to the ostensible injury suffered, claimed to be suffered by any illegal alien. It was something else entirely, I think.
Well, more than likely something else entirely. More than likely this is a set-up situation.
Anyway, I'll probably get this screwed up, and I don't know if it was Foote or if Simcox was involved at the time, but...
Well, Tim's had his own show. Tim's interviewed Jack Foote. He's mentioned Agenda 21 to Jack Foote. Jack Foote doesn't want to recognize Agenda 21, didn't want to recognize it. It all comes back to the U.N. system. If you want to stop this border problem, we've got to stop the U.N. system. And I agree wholeheartedly with John Stadmiller that our numbers have to increase. There's no doubt in my mind about this.
Yeah, well, then it was either Stadmiller or whoever explained it at the time. I think it was Stadmiller that... basically, Nethercutt, while still in the joint, either gave over or had control of the property and the personal possessions held on that property, held by presumably Foote, and to where the Nethercutt had, it was described, something like favored a couple of skinhead types that were a couple notches qualitatively below the
Well, anything's possible.
So I didn't know if you could clarify any of that.
I couldn't possibly clarify it because I don't know the conversation, and I just, you know, I understand what I see, but I'm not paying attention to others.
Yeah.
You know, it's
God bless, brother.
Okay, thank you, Roger. You know, this is the problem, listeners. I can't, and I don't listen to other shows. It's I know too much. It's too troubling to me. You know, I just can't. And I don't think it's my responsibility to listen to other shows and more than likely possibly steal someone else's information even. So I just don't make it a point of listening to other shows. No, thank you. It's too traumatic for me. I keep repeating myself over and over again about the past. Living with that knowledge of Korean Vietnam to what's going on right now. For the U.N. system, when everybody's beating up and attacking George Bush, it's George Bush and the U.N. system, listeners. Just like it was Bill Clinton in the U.N. system, George Herbert Walker Bush in the U.N. system, Ronald Reagan and George Bush in the U.N. system, George Herbert Walker Bush, vice president during the Reagan administration, Jimmy Carter administration, Gerald Ford administration, Richard Nixon. It goes on back. Johnson. You know, it goes on back, listeners. Kennedy. Every administration has been fulfilling the UN agenda in America. I wish you'd get it through your heads, and maybe many of you have. It's just the logical direction things have turned over the years. It's the UN system, engineered by the State Department, which has the U.S. mission to the United Nations, our State Department, listeners. And that's the crux and the bottom line of the scenario. I wish I was wrong with what I do. I do that dearly. Wish I was wrong with what I do. This is the worst thing in the world. To wake up this morning feeling the way I did and do with a gut in my it's just with these uneasy feelings that I come up with and wake up with. It's very, very unfortunate to have these feelings. But, you know, listeners, well, let's go to Vicki in Idaho. Vicki, welcome.
Hi, Chris.
Yes.
Coincidentally, I've been having a debate with some people online, and this one guy, you know, sent me back an email saying that if you want to perceive communists behind every tree and under every rug, you know, so be it. But their sticking point seems to be that this is fascism rather than communism because corporations own the means of production. But what I maintain is that our government is privatizing all government functions. Therefore, government de facto owns the means of production because corporations are the government.
The federal government is a federal corporation.
Yeah.
It says so right there on our website from the U.S. Code.
So I think we were miseducated, you know, surprise, surprise, about what fascism is and what communism is because, and this guy, I think he also was expecting, you know, maybe some goose-stepping Russian soldiers to be coming over here implementing communism.
Right.
And, but it's being implemented so much more creatively than that.
Absolutely.
Yeah, they're using all the NGOs and all of these social programs and things. And I saw one on TV this morning. The Department of Education is implementing Gorbachev's whole child initiative, only they're doing it under the name Safe Schools and Healthy Students. But it's the same program as the whole child program. Anyway, that's what I just wanted to say that, you know, that if anybody tries to say, you know, no, this is just capitalism out of control, not a communist takeover. It's,
right.
You know, if corporations are the government through privatization, then de facto, you know, it's the corporations own the means of production and therefore you have communism.
So. There you go.
Okay.
Thank you, Vicki.
Okay, bye-bye.
Yeah. Listeners, I don't know why they take it out. I don't know why they don't take it out of the U.S. code. Okay, but it's there at the top of my website. It's very easy to see. Communism is not dead, and when communists have infiltrated our government, and communitarianism is the new word for communism in America, the communitarianism network is in Washington, D.C. But Title 50, Chapter 23, Subchapter Roman Numeral 4, Section 841, Findings and Declaration of Fact. The Congress finds and declares that the Communist Party of the United States, although purportedly a political party, is in fact an instrumentality of a conspiracy to overthrow the government of the United States. It constitutes an authoritarian dictatorship within a republic, demanding for itself the rights and privileges accorded to political parties, but denying to all others the liberties guaranteed by the Constitution. Unlike political parties which evolve their policies and programs through public means, by the reconciliation of a wide variety of individual views, and submit those policies and programs to the electorate at large for approval or disapproval, the policies and programs of the Communist Party are secretly prescribed for it by the foreign leaders of the World Communist Movement, listeners. It's right there in the U.S. Code. Title 50, Chapter 23, Subchapter Roman Numeral 4, Section 841, Findings and Declaration of Fact. It's there on AmericanExpose.com. American spelled with a K. We'll be right back. Stay with us. Broadcast. The shortwave is still lingering here, and we need to get that funding in place. We have someone that will match $1,000. If we get a $1,000 donation, someone will match that $1,000. And so we have the opportunity to make this happen. We only have 3 more days, listeners, to make this a reality, to keep this going for next month. So we need your support very, very dearly to keep this broadcast underway, in place, and so it's your responsibility to keep this thing going. Support the sponsors and tell them you want to support my broadcast when you purchase for the sponsors, so they know where the support's coming and going. It's just the way it is, listeners. It's got to be done, and this is not an easy job for any of us at the network or me. As I was... Well, I just basically quit the thing, you know, because of frustration at one time. I'm back, and I'm very upset with our country. But I'm no more upset with our country today than I was when I was 21 years old, when I was 18 years old, 17, 16, 15. I knew from a young age where we were going, what's going on, and what's happening today. I'm sorry. I just keep saying that over and over again because it's very, very painful, people. Very painful to be living this life, knowing how it's being done, how it's being maneuvered and manipulated, and it's just so unfortunate. We're going to have Debbie at New Millennium call in on the second hour, and I hope you will support their direction. Very, very importantly that you do this as we continue. According to Andrew Pollock Douglas, really, dated August 18th, spent shells litter the ground on what is left on the firing range, and camouflage outfits still hang in a storeroom. Just a few months ago, this ranch was known as Camp Thunderbird, the headquarters of a paramilitary group, and promised to use force to keep illegal immigrants from sneaking across the border in with Mexico. And keep in mind, you have Border 21, which was originally Border Region 21, the international zone on both sides of the Mexico-U.S. border. See, this is all a test case. This is all a scenario being put upon us. Those in charge know this was going to happen, knew this was coming about, because here our jobs are being flown out of this country. I tried to get some more authority to Dennis with the website. We spent an hour and some minutes, Dennis, Darren and I, on the with the website. We were outsourced to the Philippine Islands to get help for our website. It never happened. We were there for an hour and some minutes, Darren and myself, trying to get coordination to where Darren could get authority to Dennis to have free reign on the website. We didn't get there. It didn't happen. The outsourcing of Earthlink has gone to the Philippines. So all this is going on, listeners. It's all being maneuvered and manipulated on a daily basis. And so it's very important that everyone researches. It's never been a better time in history to research. And certainly going to my website or our website is the first place you should go. John in Minnesota swears by the website, as do others. It's been put together by several people. So it's a work of love for our country that they do this. Back to this Andrew Douglas article dated 8/20, August 20th. Now in a turnabout, the 70-acre property, which now about 2 miles from the border, is given or being given to two immigrants whom the group caught trying to enter the United States illegally. The land transfer is being made to satisfy judgments in a lawsuit in which the immigrants had said that Casey Nethercott, the owner of the ranch and a former leader of the vigilante group, there they call it, vigilante group, ranch rescue. I knew this was going to happen, people. I said it a long time ago. Had harmed them. Quote, certainly it's poetic justice that these undocumented workers own this land, end quote, said Morris Dees Jr., co-founder and chief trial counsel of the Southern Poverty Law Center in Montgomery, Alabama, which represented the immigrants in their lawsuit. Well, there is the setup scenario in place, listeners. Morris Dees said the loss of the ranch would, quote, send a pretty important message to those who come to the border to use violence, end quote. We're not coming to the border to use violence. We're coming to the border to stop the flow of illegal immigration. But yet, under the UN system and the UN eyes and the State Department, our border is open grounds. Everyone can leave his country, come back to his country. The Universal Declaration of Human Rights says so. Executive Order 13107 of 1998, December 10th, says so, signed by Clinton. Implementation of human rights treaties in 1998. The 50th anniversary of the Universal Declaration of Human Rights formed by Eleanor Roosevelt on December 10th, 1948, listeners. Oh, boy. It's so easy to connect the dots, people. I hope you're having an easy time as I am in connecting these dots. We'll be back to continue. Stay with us. Welcome back to the broadcast called American Exposé. That is Poker Face. PokerFace.com is their website. They need your support as well as I need your support, people. So make sure you support this direction to keep this operational here at Republic Broadcasting Network. From unattractive.com, U.S. Army Environmental Center. And, yeah, I'm jumping around because it's all over the place. We're in a war, listeners. It's a quiet war, a silent war. So the U.S. Army needs land to train troops and to build, test, and store materials. With land comes the responsibility of stewardship. The Army's conservation objectives are to ensure land remains available for missions, maintain land in the best natural condition for realistic training and to preserve ecosystems, minimize land-related restrictions on training through good stewardship. Many other federal agencies share a responsibility for quality land stewardship, including the Natural Resources Conservation Service, the Forest Service, and the Fish and Wildlife Service. The Army and these agencies must comply with federal laws and ecology, sustain productive ecosystems, and conserve biological diversity, people. Now, here it is. Let me grab it real quick, and callers, bear with me. Executive Order 13123, Greening the Government Through Efficiency Energy Management, June 8, 1999. Greening the Government Through Efficiency Energy Management, Executive Order 13123 of June 3, 1999. So what do we have now? The U.S. Army Environmental Center, listeners. It's on unattractive.com. Let's go to Paul in Florida. Paul, welcome to the broadcast.
Yeah, hi, Chris. Nice to hear you on the air again.
Thank you, Paul.
I just wanted to call your attention to something that's extremely anomalous weather-wise, which might tie in with your Connected Dot program.
I'm sure it does.
Yep. we have just, as reference your shortwave, I listen to you on shortwave.
Yes.
I've got a good set here. I got a Grundig Yachtboy 400 with about 150 feet of wire.
Yes.
Strung around the property. So this is not an antenna problem. Today, your shortwave really got wiped out.
Yes.
For about 2 to 3 hours, because I think we got one beauty of a solar flare.
I got a call from someone else about that, but
yeah,
I don't know whether it came
so
from that or not.
So, listeners out there, you don't run out and buy a new radio or take it down to the tech. It's the solar flare, and I was only out for about a half an hour today, and I came in, and my face is burning like I got a mild sunburn, and that never happens, even in the summertime.
And what is a solar flare?
Okay, it is caused by what is called a coronal mass ejecta, abbreviated CME. What it is, it's a solar storm on the sun. And it's...
How long have we been having solar storms?
Solar storms are normal. Sunspots are normal. What you'd have to do is back up and look at your statistics and see if you can indicate an anomaly. In other words, and it seems like we are going through a particularly anomalous period with this, because we got one. I've called up before about this, but it seems. And when I came in today from the outside, you know how when if you look quickly at the sun and then you go into a dark room, you'll see like a white, bright white spot before your eyes. Well, today I came in, I didn't look at the sun. And everything was completely normal. I came in and I saw this very large white spot before my eyes, and that has never happened before.
Mm-hmm.
And also, there's something also very anomalous going on down here with the ocean, in that the ocean temperature offshore here in Fort Lauderdale is normally about 86 to 88 degrees during this time of year, because, you know, we've got the Gulf Stream right offshore, and there's nothing... unusual about that. However, this season, and I've been down here since 81, the water temperature offshore, and I'm not talking in the Gulf Stream, I'm talking right offshore here at the beach, is about 90 to 91 degrees. And earlier in the season, the water temperature up as far as New Jersey, I think, was 80 degrees.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering if someone is messing with the water temperature to help develop hurricanes, because that's partially what hurricanes feed off of, is humidity and moisture coming off of the ocean.
Well, we certainly know weather modification is a reality.
There's a weather system just north of Haiti right now. It's a tropical wave, which is border, and it's getting borderline depression. I'm wondering now, and it's headed right straight towards South Florida here, the East Coast, our area, and we expect it to arrive probably about Thursday or Friday. It's going to be very interesting to see if this develops in a very quick, anomalous fashion. But, you know, then again, statistically, down here in Florida, our peak hurricane season is last 2 weeks in August, first 2 weeks in September. But this water temperature business is very, very unusual, and it might also be interesting to see where these hurricanes hit in North America. Go to the UN website, I assume, of course they must have one, and see if they have maps there indicating their environmentally protected areas. And see if the hurricanes just happen to go over those spots. You know, I might be way off base with this.
Well, that's fine to have those thoughts, though. That's not way off base thinking. It's just concern on your behalf.
Yeah, it could be, you know, the things are just coincidentally coming together, you know.
Could be, but it might not be.
Yeah, but I haven't gone to the website. I have limited access to a computer, but it'd be interesting to see on the UN website if they have any kind of a map indicating those areas that they want to environmentally protect, because if you're going to do that, the first thing you have to do is depopulate it.
Oh, boy. You're right on the money there.
But anyway, all the people out there in shortwave, don't go out and buy a new radio. It's just a solar flare.
There you go.
It's starting to pass now. You're coming up again now.
Well, I'm glad of that.
Okay.
Thank you, Paul.
Oh, thanks, Chris. Bye-bye.
Appreciate your thoughts. you know, weather modification, total reality, owning the weather 2025 by the Air Force is on our website. I would say owning the weather 2005 would be more appropriate. Russia and the U.S. working together through the Security Council, the U.N. system, is a high probability, listeners. Now, I was just covering the Army Corps of Engineers, and certainly we're going all over the place today, but listen to this. From American Rivers, the Dam Removal Toolkit, listeners. The American Rivers Dam Removal Toolkit is an essential component of our dam removal campaign. The toolkit contains materials that can be used on many aspects of dam removal. The information is provided to help strengthen the efforts around the country to restore rivers through dam removal. Who's part of dam removal, listeners? The Army Corps of Engineers. Let's go to TJ in Minnesota. Welcome to the broadcast.
Thank you, Chris. I got to switch priorities. First, I was going to discuss rewilding mountain lions into the state of Iowa. Well, that's pretty disgruntling, but I got to talk to Paul down there in Florida. Mm-hmm. Are you with me, Paul? We had a blanket shortwave blackout 102 days ago on Friday the 13th, I think it was May. It began during the noon hour central time. It lasted here for about an hour. That included ham radio operation. The only thing one could almost get was the International Greenwich Mean Time signal out of Canada. Simultaneous to that, Paul Harvey announced that the Soviets had jammed all the radios in that little revolting burg over there.
Really?
Yeah. Now, today, the same thing happened. If it's a sunspot, there must be a clock on the sun. Because it happened again today at the same time, for the same duration, approximately. They started regaining it at 13:05 hours central in the Middle West. But on the one on the Friday the 13th, you could actually hear a graduated regaining of the shortwave signal. That is to say, it was just like you were tuning a radio incrementally.
Uh-huh.
And this does not seem like a sunspot to me. I'm sure the government would love us to think it's a sunspot, and it's possible.
Now, TJ, that was my feeling when he mentioned sunspots, solar flares. The first thing that comes to my mind, created crisis. You know what I mean?
Oh, well, sure, yeah. It's for everything the Patriots discover beforehand or after the fact, there is a government source that will explain it away through some of their real wacky propaganda, false science.
Mm-hmm.
And they do it, anybody that looks at, gets their statistics from government internet sites better review the statistics and do their own research simultaneously. But there were other callers on that Friday the 13th. I know it was all across the United States and in that Soviet country that was revolting. And that's pretty ironic.
The Republic Chechnya?
Yes.
Yeah.
And Paul Harvey said one cell phone call made it out of country. Well, that blanketing of the shortwave in this country, pretty well would have blocked up all, and that we're talking sideband also here. You've got listeners right now that know what I'm referring to, and I called WWCR today and tried to get the message through while we were blanketed. I don't know if it got through, but they know about it. And I've got my opinion, and Paul can keep his, but I think we need heads up, because if it happens again, I always get the safe room ready when the radio goes out, and I have two radios, mm-hmm. two locations, a high location lots of antenna, and no signal today during the noon hour for more than a half an hour. Now, quickly, because I know you got other callers, heads up to Iowans. This is out of the Furfish game, September issue. A little rewilding in store for the Iowans. And I've got grandkids in Iowa, and I hunt on both sides of the Iowa-Minnesota border.
Mm-hmm.
And they're planning on managing mountain lions in Iowa because we have some. We don't know if they were planted or they're coincidental or migratory. We don't know. It doesn't matter.
They're protected.
They want to put them on the fur bear list so they can manage them. And that management includes setting aside some of the very sparse state forest land to protect them, I'm sure. And I love cats, and I love big cats, and right now they're an unprotected species in Iowa, and I'm trying my best to see that they stay that way. That is to say, I don't have to wait until they attack me or drag my puppy or my child off the front porch.
Which can happen.
Well, and it does.
It does.
You know, California's got areas legislated where you can't ride a bicycle because they might get eaten by a mountain lion.
Yeah.
And it's coming to a neighborhood near all the Midwesterners pretty soon.
Everyone.
And this article says they want to prevent indiscriminate killing of mountain lions in Iowa. Well, I want to prevent that, too, because I do discriminate against mountain lions.
You betcha.
Yeah. With that, I'll close and let somebody else on. God bless.
Appreciate it.
Later.
Thank you, my friend. I want to let you know, listeners, that I put a freeze on my website on the dates to August 18th because every little item on this front page of the website going down to August 17th, going down to August 13th, August 11th, down to August 8th. Oh, people, August 9th. Vital information here. And we've got to work a direction to get all this information so it doesn't go back in the later dates so it's more difficult to find. Because all of this is vital, vital information. And I called Dennis to compliment him on his research over the weekend. And I'm very, very concerned about this vital information disappearing into the last month. You're going down to the bottom under August 9th, and you cannot believe the information here about local Agenda 21, where he pulled up 552,000 results. In L.A. 21, 268,000 results. And he says it's in your backyard. Others say it's in our front yard. And Darren has come up with the point that welcome to UnAmerica on the American Exposé website. Very good work, Darren. Very good. Let's go to Bob, I believe, in Kansas. Bob, are you there?
Hello, Chris.
Yes.
Well, you know, as far as those cougars go, all they need to do to protect their cattle and their kids and their puppies is make the politicians live out in those wild areas with their children.
Good
That'll
idea.
That'll be the cougars' food.
Good idea.
Yeah, that's where they need to live.
Yeah, well,
you know, what does one expect, though? I mean, it was a predictable result as Ranch Rescue. You know, you were saying you were predicting it. No, it was a predictable result. But what do you expect people to do? Stand there and get run over?
No, I don't. I understand their frustration, but I see that the groundswell of the problem comes from the U.N. system, and there's H.R. 1146 to get out of the U.N., and I know it's a step, but if we get more people involved in the U.N. system and understanding what illegal immigration is about, look at these illegal immigration groups talking about the problem but never connecting the dots to the source of the problem like I do. Now, don't you think that's a problem?
Well,
these other immigration groups complaining about illegal immigration, but they don't connect the dots to Mariana Fowler overturning the vote of the American people, not allowing where we voted for no medical benefits for illegal aliens. Judge Mariana Fowler overturned it. Well, she's working with international law. Go back to the Bar Treaty of 1947, where it internationalizes our courts. Everything happened from 1945 to 1950 for the structures to be put in place to what we're living with today. So now we have the Hegelian dialectic at the border, but it's the UN system and the State Department that's implementing it. And what do I expect people to do? I expect people to get on their representatives' tails and tell them about the UN system and how it's being implemented.
Can I hang on a sec?
Okay. We'll keep you over, Bob, and we'll continue with these directions. Oh, boy, people. We'll be back to continue. Stay with us. Okay, welcome back to the broadcast. We continue with Bob in Kansas. Bob, continue with your thoughts.
Well, you know, I realize all that you're saying, Chris, but to make it a little more simplistic, I don't need to know all the intimate details of the whys if I know somebody's trying to kill me off or steal my things.
Yeah.
It's just real simple. Well, you do what you got to do.
Well, and then you get what happened to Mr. Nethercutt.
He made a mistake by calling Border Patrol. That man needed to run feral hogs on his property and just toss the bodies to the hogs. And I know that sounds cold, but you know you go down to Mexico and see how they treat you on that Border 21 area you're talking about.
I've been in Mexico before. I know how the federales treat us, and I understand the frustration that we all feel, but.
I'd still throw them to the hogs. It wouldn't matter to me.
The people in charge are doing a tremendous job of strategizing the destruction of our country as they've strategized the destruction of other countries. And here's where the battle lies. It's a major situation that we're under today. It's in all facets of society today. And we talk about it on a constant basis, the whole picture, the dumbing down in the schools, the border problem. But yet the border problem is being exasperated on purpose to create a Hegelian scenario for help. And who's going to come and support that problem? Who knows?
It'll be United Nations.
Or NATO, which is part of the UN.
Yeah, and that's who's going to end up down there. You know that.
Yes. As our troops are all over the world on purpose.
There's a local talk program here coming on Sunday night, and he's a kind of a conservative guy, and he's a local law professor, and he doesn't speak any of this UN business other than he thinks UN's a bad idea. He doesn't get into the intricacies of it, but he's kind of pro Bush. So I thought, well, I'll call up, and I called up Sunday night, and I tell you what, if you start giving out the websites like yours or John's or whoever, you know, the people.
Yeah.
They will ban you from calling, let me tell you.
Mm-hmm.
But I brought up how Bush said he was a communitarian.
Oh, boy.
And he says, well, now, and doesn't that mean they just like their community? I said, you can look it up. It means he's a form of a kinder, gentler communist.
There you go.
And
good for you.
Consequently, and you're the only talk show host I notice brings up that communitarian business. I've heard that several times out of your mouth, but hardly any out of anyone else.
Well, it's a challenge for some people. And it's very easy to find out about that, isn't it?
Yeah, the dictionary will tell you.
Sure.
An old dictionary will tell you what a communitarian is.
Oh, good.
One around the turn of the century or into the 20s will even tell you, a Webster's will tell you what one is. And that the word community is associated with the same business.
Yes, it is.
So he kind of hem-hawed around. I said, well, Chris, you go look it up, and you tell me what you think. And your own president said that. And I said, what about all those Trotskyites and Trotskyites' children and grandchildren hoovering around the White House out there advising the president? What do you think about that? He didn't have a thing to say.
Well, and you can always throw in the State Department when you're talking to these other shows, because there's no denying what the State Department does.
This whole thing of coming under international law has destroyed us. We got so many. Here's the problem. We got so many things sucking on us.
yes.
at one time. You
yes.
can't pick them off fast enough.
There you have it.
And we're almost dry of blood now. Your average people don't understand. I know that. And I think they're so far behind the learning curve, they would never understand it. And I'm afraid they couldn't get their minds around it if they did study.
Well, Bob, working together with you would be a pleasure.
I'll see you later.
And all of us working together. Thank you, Bob. We can make a difference. Increase the numbers here. Support them. Support the sponsors, that is, and tell them you're supporting American Exposé when you support these sponsors. We'll be back to continue with the second hour. Stay with us.